Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going straight to the heart of a question I think many of us wrestle with. Where is God when we suffer?
Yeah, it's a huge one, a really massive topic.
Absolutely. And we've gathered some, well, really thought-provoking sources to explore it with you all.
Exactly. We're going to be looking closely at C.S. Lewis's world, you know, Narnia, especially The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
And we'll pair that with his own very personal, very honest reflections on pain and grief. So the problem of pain and then a grief observed.
And to give us a broader view, we're also pulling in different perspectives on suffering right from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. From the trials of Job all the way through to the teachings in the Gospels.
Our goal here, like always, is to kind of pull out the key insights from all these different materials.
Yeah. Help people think more deeply about what suffering actually is, how we respond to it.
And this often really perplexing idea of God's presence, you know, in it.
We're definitely not aiming for simple answers. It's more about encouraging a richer understanding.
It is. And it's striking, as your sources point out, this isn't some new question that's just popped up.
Not at all. Fundamental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Part of being human. People have grappled with this forever.
Across cultures, through history.
Yeah.
And even, you know, something recent and tragic like the earthquake in Myanmar, it's just a stark reminder, isn't it? Suffering is always present.
A constant reality.
It is.
Yeah.
And that brings to mind that really evocative image from Narnia.
Yes.
Always winter, but never Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
One of your sources uses this just so powerfully, I think, to describe a world or maybe even times in our own lives where hardship just seems endless.
Like hope is just gone, absent.
Yeah, exactly. It really hits that feeling of brokenness we see around us and, well, sometimes within ourselves too.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you were in that kind of winter?
Oh, definitely. That feeling of just grinding hardship, a joyless existence, it resonates because it's so deeply human.
Right.
And when we try to make sense of why a supposedly good and powerful God would allow that, well, that's when we get into what theologians call theodicy.
Theodicy, right. Trying to square God's goodness with all the evil and pain.
It's complex stuff. Mm. Philosophers, theologians, they've been at it for centuries. You know, how does God's power and human free will even coexist when there's so much suffering? That's just one part of it.
And C.S. Lewis himself, his own understanding of suffering, it really evolved, didn't it? Our sources highlight that fascinating journey.
They really do. First, you have The Problem of Pain. He wrote that back in 1940.
During World War II.
Exactly. And it's, well, it's more theoretical.
Yeah.
Almost academic, maybe a bit detached.
Yeah, and there's that key quote from it.
Yes. We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to.
Mm-hmm.
God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
So pain as a divine tool, almost, to get our attention.
That seems to be the idea there. But then, fast forward.
Years later, after the devastating loss of his wife, Joy Davidman, he writes, A Grief Observed, 1961.
And it's like, wow.
Wow.
A completely different voice.
Totally. It's raw. It's incredibly personal. He's wrestling with the exact same questions.
But now from this place of intense personal grief.
Vulnerability.
The contrast is just huge. He writes, we were promised sufferings. They were part of the program.
Of course, it is different when the thing happens to oneself, not to others. And in reality, not imagination.
Oof. Yeah. That really hits home, doesn't it? How intellectual ideas can just crumble or at least get severely tested when you're in the thick of it yourself.
Absolutely. It makes you wonder maybe that earlier, more theoretical approach. Maybe it just lacked the full weight of lived experience, you know? It really does seem that way. And then you have Narnia, the Chronicles, where it feels like Lewis is exploring these same massive ideas, good, evil, suffering, redemption, but through this amazing allegorical story.
Yeah, and one of the core issues the sources dive into is this problem of evil. It's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
If God is all-powerful, all-loving, why suffering?
It's the age-old question.
And it's not new, like we said.
Yeah.
Your sources mentioned Epicurus way back in ancient Greece.
Right, the dilemma.
Yeah. If God wants to stop evil but can't, he's not all-powerful. If he can stop it but doesn't want to, he's not all-loving. If he can and wants to, then why is there evil?
Still resonates today.
Completely. Mm-hmm. And the book of Job in the Bible, that's like the foundational text grappling with this exact struggle. A righteous guy, unimaginable suffering, demanding answers.
Exactly. Job, who endures all this despite being faithful, and his friends just keep trying to offer these like neat, tidy explanations.
That just fall totally flat, don't help at all.
It really shows how our human attempts to just rationalize suffering often don't provide any real comfort or understanding.
And what's really significant, according to the sources we looked at, is that instead of giving those easy answers, scripture often shows God actually entering into the human experience of suffering.
Which brings us right back to Narnia and that powerful image of Aslan's sacrifice in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. His victory over the White Witch. It's not brute force.
No, it's his willingness to embrace the evil, the darkness, offering himself up instead of Edmund.
And this act, this profound self-sacrifice, it just mirrors a core theological idea, doesn't it?
God's ultimate identification with our suffering through Jesus on the cross.
Exactly. Even Jesus's cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That shows that deep, raw feeling of abandonment, the questioning that can hit us in intense suffering.
And your sources really emphasize it was human evil, not God, that killed Jesus.
That's a crucial distinction. Aslan taking on Narnia's winter by offering himself. It really does parallel Jesus taking on the world's brokenness.
But, you know, some might argue that a truly all-powerful being wouldn't need to sacrifice themselves, right? How do the sources handle that tension?
That's a really good question. And one perspective that comes through in the sources is this idea of God's power being expressed differently than we might expect.
How so?
Sort of through powerlessness, particularly in allowing human free will. The idea is that real love doesn't force or control.
Okay, so by giving us freedom to choose.
God also allows for the possibility of both amazing good and terrible suffering. So it reframes divine power. It's not always about stepping in to stop the suffering.
But maybe about being present within it, offering love that endures through it.
Exactly. That idea of powerless love seems really key. God meeting us in the suffering, not always preventing it.
And related to that, one of your sources talks about how subtle evil can be. It's not always, you know, pitchforks and red tights.
Right. It moves beyond those simplistic images. It talks about evil working through whispers, maybe, through the absence of good rather than big dramatic acts.
Like the White Witch using Turkish delight to tempt Edmund.
Mm-hmm. And exploiting the existing sibling rivalry. It's insidious. However,
it's so true. It's often not the huge, obvious evils that get us, is it? It's those small compromises, those little bits of selfishness or unkindness that snowball.
Yeah, they can lead to much bigger problems down the line.
And your sources also touch on this idea of stolen life dreams or living in the shadowland of regret.
Unfulfilled potential.
As another kind of suffering, something that steals our peace, our trust.
Yeah, this sense of a less real existence compared to something more profound.
Which connects to another concept the sources explore, the numinous.
Ah, the numinous. That's fascinating. It's that feeling you sometimes get, right? That sense of awe or wonder.
Like there's something more going on beyond just the physical world.
Exactly. Something more to reality than just what we see and touch. C.S. Lewis, among others, explored this nag of something more.
Where might we sense that?
Maybe in moments of incredible beauty or profound kindness. Sometimes even in a crisis. It's that feeling pointing beyond the material. Have you ever had a moment like that where you felt connected to something bigger?
Yeah, I think so. Like a faint echo of another reality, maybe.
That's a good way to put it. And this might shed light on why, as one source points out with Edmund.
People might deny or hesitate about spiritual experiences.
Right. Maybe guilt or fear or just finding it hard to square those feelings with everyday life. Edmund denying he was even in Narnia after meeting the White Witch. That really speaks to that reluctance, doesn't it?
That reluctance to embrace something different. It makes me think about how focusing only on the here and now can make us question things that aren't tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to that passage from Matthew 6 about storing treasures in heaven.
Yeah, that raises an interesting question about perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does emphasizing a spiritual reward later, does that somehow diminish the importance of this life? Our experiences now, our responsibilities now?
It feels like a balancing act.
It really does. Recognizing a spiritual dimension without devaluing our present existence.
So as the sources start moving towards the Easter season, this theme emerges, an inevitable journey.
Yeah, you see it in Narnia with Aslan heading towards the stone table, and of course in Jesus's life leading to Good Friday.
It highlights this tough reality that often those who stand for what's right, they face opposition, even sacrifice.
Indeed. But even with that foreshadowing of suffering, there's also this powerful sense of hope, isn't there?
Definitely. The arrival of the Pevensey children in Narnia It signals a change, a new possibility.
Just like Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday heralded a new era, even though conflict followed pretty quickly.
And that entry into Jerusalem on a donkey?
Yeah.
Your sources present it not as some big military parade.
No, not at all. It's deeply symbolic, even political in a way.
A direct challenge to the power structures, the Roman Empire, fulfilling prophecy about a king bringing peace through humility, not force.
And the meaning of Hosanna is fascinating. Save us.
A cry for deliverance, yeah. Right there in the face of oppression, a longing for God to step in.
So that humble entry on a donkey was just a stark contrast to Rome's displays of power.
So pulling it all together, a central message that really seems to cut through all these sources is that God isn't some distant, aloof observer of our suffering.
Right. He actively participates in it. The crucifixion, Jesus's ultimate act of self-sacrifice, it embodies this idea of God co-suffering with humanity.
And thinking about how we respond to suffering ourselves, your sources bring up this really powerful idea, tools, not toys.
Yeah. Explain that a bit.
Well, the idea is instead of just treating the gift, the resources, the abilities we have as, you know, mere amusements for ourselves.
They're called to use them actively.
Yeah.
To serve and support others.
Exactly. Especially when times are tough. It connects back to that idea of God's presence being shown through human action, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It shifts the focus, doesn't it? From just passively thinking about our own problems.
To actively engaging with the world. Using whatever we have to make a difference, even when things feel bleak.
Yeah, it's really a call to action. Rooted in this belief that even in the middle of suffering, we have a role, something meaningful to contribute.
Okay, so as we bring this deep dive towards a close, let's just quickly touch back on some key themes.
Sure. We've journeyed through this huge question of suffering.
Looked at C.S. Lewis's own evolving thoughts.
Considered the subtle ways evil can work.
And reflected on these biblical perspectives showing God profoundly involved in human pain.
And we saw that really powerful contrast. Worldly power seeking dominance versus the transformative power of selfless love.
Yeah, like with Aslan's sacrifice, Jesus's path to the cross, it offers such a different lens for understanding suffering.
Definitely.
And hopefully for everyone listening, you found some threads here that, you know, connect with your own experiences, understanding these different facets, these theological responses. It can maybe offer a framework for navigating your own challenges or the pain you see in the world.
Yeah, and that idea that God isn't distant but present, a companion in our struggles, that can be a real source of strength, can't it?
It really can. And that call to use your tools, not toys, it nudges us to find ways, practical ways to bring hope and help even when it feels like winter.
Which leads us maybe to a final thought to leave with people, something to chew on.
Okay, what's that?
What if true power isn't actually found in control, in dominance, but in vulnerability, in self-giving love? That seems to be the kind of power reflected in these sources.
Wow. Okay.
How might embracing that perspective reshape how you approach your own difficulties or the challenges facing the world?
That's a profound question to sit with. We definitely encourage you to maybe revisit some of the sources we talked about.
Lewis's A Grief Observed is incredibly powerful.
Mm.
And the gospel accounts of Holy Week.
Yeah. And maybe reflect on those moments you've sensed something more, those numinous experiences. How might they connect to a larger reality?
And perhaps take some time to think, What tools do you have right now that you can use to bring a little less winter and a bit more hope into the world around you?
Great questions to end on. Thanks, everyone, for taking this deep dive with us.